Welcome to the Social Podcast, where no discussion or debate is off limits.
Hey, everybody. Happy Monday. Welcome to the Social. We are excited to welcome back actor, comedian Aisha Alfa, who's going to be joining us pretty regularly this season. Welcome back, Aisha.
Woohoo. Thank you. I'm so excited. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Jess Lanes as well. We're ready to dive into this first story.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's go.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because everybody, I don't know if you heard, a Kardashian family member got engaged. There it is. Kourtney and Travis Barker got engaged yesterday. Travis proposed in the middle of this elaborate floral arrangement on this gorgeous beach in Montecito, California. Where else? And it got us thinking, okay, proposals. Do we like this big elaborate proposal, or are you someone who prefers perhaps a little smaller, more intimate, private affair? Although I don't think the Kardashians know what any of those last words mean. Anybody down to mix this up? What do you think of this?
I like this for Kourtney. I have to say that I've never really cared that much about Kardashian romances, and I really care about this one.
Why?
I'm really invested in this one.
Yeah.
I love their chemistry. I know they're a little like over the top
extra
with the PDA and the tonguing and the licking, but I'm also really, you know, when you know both of their stories, Travis has been through some things.
Near death.
Exactly. Yeah. And he has said that she's really helped him in his recovery and opening back up. And I also really love this for Kourtney because, you know, she's had three kids with a man who never wanted to be engaged to her. This is her first engagement. It will be her first wedding. So think about that. Think about like the love opportunities that were there for her, or that she watched that were there for other people and were never there for her because she was with this loser for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And in public, the narrative about Kourtney has always been, oh, you're with that deadbeat. So now she's with this guy who's like, you know what? We're going to make up for all that lost time. Your sisters have had the big displays. I'm going to do that for you. I'm going to roll it out on the beach. I'm going to tell the world I'm so into you, and I love that for her.
But here's the thing, the Kardashian thing, and I'd like to hear what everybody thinks of this. When you turn the tap on like that to the world coming in, and they've been very public, public part of the PDA has been public, P-U-B-L-I-C, you cannot also choose to turn that off now. So they have welcomed all of us in, down their throats, literally. Literally down their throats. I can count their taste buds most days, but you cannot turn that off now. So that's the question, right? When you go so public, can you shut that off?
Well, sure, I don't know why you can't turn it off.
These are public people.
Yes. Go ahead, Jess. I like that.
These are public people, and they might be like contractually even obliged to do this. But can we talk about civilians? They might have to film this stuff for the show. Who knows?
Maybe they had a proposal that was private, and then they showed this because they have to.
I know, but they have a show in the pipeline.
Yeah, you're probably
right. They got to have a show in the pipeline. Yeah. This is going to be a new, you know, a reboot.
Spinoff. Mm-hmm.
But what about, let's talk about civilians. Like if the people that put this kind of thing on display, and maybe I'm being too precious about it because, you know, I would prefer like an intimate proposal. Or any proposal, if I'm being honest.
What are you saying, Jess?
Are you proposing to your man right now?
Simon,
please,
are you watching?
Stop what you're doing.
There's something, Lainey.
She's on one knee.
Something's going on here.
No, like, what are you, can you just rewind? No, rewind.
You can't let that drop.
You prefer an intimate proposal. Is that what you said?
Yeah, she said, or any proposal.
I don't
proposal.
Think I would. Or any proposal. Okay, we're going to clip
or
that.
Any,
our social media team is going to clip that. We're going to put that on social media.
Gosh.
Hopefully someone by the name of S-I-O-N.
Yes, someone.
See that.
Can I just say, though, that like I agree with Jess in that I'm a public person. I'm a comedian. I talk about my whole life on social media, on stage, anywhere anyone will pay attention to me. And when my husband proposed, it was the most intimate and private thing. He tells his family every single thing. Okay. They talk like 3, 4, 5, too many times a day, in my opinion. But, you know, and that's wonderful. But like, he didn't tell them that he was going to propose to me. Oh. He went out and got himself a diamond that he got made into a ring, girlfriend. Like, tell me what, right? And then
well done.
He put sticky notes inside of our backgammon game because we are 80 and we like to play backgammon. And he, you know, we were having an evening. He said, let's play backgammon. I forced him to do a self-tape audition and I got really mean and was like, this isn't working. And he was like, let's do this backgammon game. We'll just take a break. And then he was down on one knee with these beautiful post-it notes. And it was a special tender moment that, like, I've never posted any of that information. I've never taken pictures and put that out there because for me, it is precious. That's one thing I get to keep private. You know, I
went on Instagram. Was like, Aisha?
This is not before Instagram, girls. We had our third anniversary. Okay, we got two kids and we have a third year anniversary. We move fast, but like,
but he knows nice, you, right? Like, he knows what you want, and he tailored it to what you want the way that hopefully, you know, people tailor to the people they're proposing to. I feel
and
like
they should. That's a green flag right there. That's a green flag.
I do think that there are some people who don't want to dial it back. Courtney, I'm going to trust that Travis decided on the engagement that Courtney wanted.
Can I get really catty for just 2 seconds?
Oh, please, please, please.
Well, I don't know if it's just because the Kardashians, they live for the public display of everything. And I'm watching their body language. And like Travis clearly is like really into her.
Yeah.
But is he also into the fame? Like, is he also into what comes with being up with a Kardashian? I mean, he's got his own fame, don't get me wrong, but they know fame, like Kardashian fame. And he is
like,
now
is he gonna change his
on
name
the headlines.
To Kardashian?
Like, maybe, or I don't know. Body language tells me Courtney is very quickly not digging all this PDA quite the same way she did at the very beginning. Watch any kiss, even the engagement kiss. Who's the one to pull away first? More and more and more. It's Courtney. And I think that this spells bad things. I don't want to be that person. This is a lovely thing. Love is love. I'm just saying he might like this shine
a
little too much.
I feel like we've had a Freaky Friday body switch because I'm the one who's like, I'm all about this. I think this is going to last forever.
And I'm like, oh, God,
I'm
no.
all about, I think it's, I think that I this is it. The right person for her, that she's the right person for him. And I just want to know how, like, black leather, goth, and tattooed this wedding is going to be.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to know what the wedding aesthetic is going to be.
Well, stay tuned for that, but right now we're moving on to something that's somewhat related. So here's the thing, is the old saying, more money, more problems, is it true? Because former WWE wrestler Dave Bautista told Men's Health magazine that getting rich made him miserable, that he wasted his money on stupid stuff when he could have been helping others. So would having more money just make you personally miserable or happy?
Well, the short answer is more money will not make me more miserable. Okay. Okay. I will be happy to open arm, accept and receive all the money the universe and all employers are interested in handing over. But to be real, I think that there's something to be said about, like, it's not about the money, in my opinion. It's about the person and it's about where that person is. And I'm going to go out on a real short limb here and say that the WWE is probably not nurturing men in a way where when they do become famous and do get all this money, they're encouraging them to like dig deep and be a good person and give back to the community and all these things. So I think that if you don't have the support system, perhaps you're not as stable and solid as you want to be, someone gives you a whole chunk of money, you're going to do stupid things with it.
Yeah, and I think that, where I agree with you there is that it's not about the money. Because I do believe that if someone gets $200 and they mismanage it, you know, I can tell you exactly how you're going to manage $250,000 or $250 million. That it's not about the money. I don't know if it's as much a personality thing. It might be. But I also think we've talked about it so much on this show. Who is there to teach any person how to manage finances? We keep saying that it should be the schools, it should be the parents. I know in my life, I inherited and learned about money management through my parents, but they were really deliberate about it. This is how you do X, this is how you do Y. They went as far as they knew. I wish I learned more about investing and all of those things. But I think that if you are never taught how to manage money, you will mismanage $2 or $2 million. So I think that someone in the caption who wrote to us said, it's not the money that makes you miserable. It's the management of it. So I think that we still are really doing a disservice to one another to not teach people basic money management.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't think money is gonna, go ahead, Jess.
I was just going to say, I think I'd just be a really excellent rich person. Like, I'd love to test it out.
Because you're already a great person.
So good. Well, maybe that's it. But, like you, I have a plan. Doesn't everyone sort of have that daydream? Like, if you came into a huge amount of money, like, you'd buy houses for all your loved ones. Yes. And then you'd buy houses in beautiful spots. And you'd invite your friends, like you guys, all expenses paid, FYI. And then I'd save money.
I'm glad I'm on the panel today.
I'd save. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's on tape. You're all there. Yeah. Save money by buying a vintage car, like maybe a vintage Mercedes, like Richard Gere drove in American Gigolo. You save money that way than buying a new car. It's all, you got to think this out.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It's funny because kids learn about money early. Marquez is 7 mm-hmm. and she says, I want to be rich.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah, and then parenting moment, right? You're just like, I don't know if you've already experienced this, Aisha. And as a parent, you get confronted with money, rich, what wealthy, what does that mean? And I said to her, what does rich mean to you? She says that you can buy anything you want. And I said, okay, does it mean, does it guarantee you are happy?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, you know, you have to start to ask. But I literally was like, oh my gosh, she's 7? And she's already like, I want to be rich.
It's just my 2-year-old, my 2-year-old knows how to, he thinks that the word gold is associated with money. So if he sees a gold star, he goes, gold money. And I'm like, oh no, this just sounds like he's a little like rapper. Like we need to tone this down. Go money. You
know, there it is.
Diapers. We need to fix this.
That's the boomerang right there. Thank you for that, Aisha. That was awesome. So there is a Toronto restaurant and it is making headlines. Why? It has decided to close on the weekends for the sake of their employees' mental health. That is Saturday and Sunday. Jess, we know that you worked in the serving industry for a really long time in restaurants. I want to hear from you on this because where's the money if you're closed on Saturday and Sundays at a restaurant?
It's a good question. A lot of restaurants typically close Sunday and Monday or Monday and Tuesday for that reason. At least, you know, they're closing for 2 days in a row so that their staff gets time to sort of come up for air. And I actually used to love getting Mondays and Tuesdays off because while everyone else was working, I could go around, do my errands. If I wanted to go away for my weekend, it was typically cheaper and stuff like that. But I think this restaurant might be doing it for another reason. This is completely hypothetical. I'm making this up. But Saturdays and Sundays closing, Saturdays is typically your most busy day. And they're saying they're doing it to give them time with their family, which is beautiful. You want to spend time with your family. But Saturdays is also the day where you don't have your neighborhood regulars coming in. You have tourists coming in. You have people coming in from out of town. And those people can sometimes be a little more difficult to work with. They might be the type of person that says, you know, I'll take the trout with the brown butter, but hold the brown butter and put in cashew oil and don't put in onions, please, because I'm allergic to flavor. You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. And if you think I think it comes down to what's more important, like $50 that you'll lose on a busy Saturday night versus, you know, you're still going to make money 5 other nights of the week. Or like your mental health, like people are going to be a little looser, a little more relaxed without having to deal with that every week.
Huh. Mm. That's a really interesting theory. I was actually thinking like we know that right across this country, the restaurant industry has lost at the very least 50% of its workforce during the pandemic, and they're having a heck of a time bringing them back. So we know that there are many restaurants, I don't know if this is one of them, that is saying, we want you back and we got to sweeten the pot to lure you back. So it's perhaps it's better pay, maybe it's better benefits, maybe it's that work-life balance. And I think that for people who were sadly really hit hard in the restaurant industry, the one silver lining is that they were able to spend like Thanksgiving or Christmas or any other special event with their family, maybe for the first time in decades. Mm-hmm. There was a great podcast, the Globe and Mail podcast. I always talk about it. It's called The Decibel. There was a lady who was working in the industry for 30 years. She's like, it's really nice to realize you don't have to miss birthdays and holidays. And if you want me back, it better be hecka good or I'm not going to come back to the industry. Yeah. And I think that's fair. I mean, yeah. Then there are people like Julie on Twitter who shared with us, it's a nice sentiment, but this is likely one of the days servers make the most money. Yeah. I have been a server and I would not be happy about this. Mm. I was there to make money and you make money on Saturdays, not Mondays. So it's a balance about like the other perks that aren't monetary versus yeah. a lot of people in the service industry. It's a stopgap. They're doing it to make enough money to do the thing that they really want to do. I think first of actors, right? Every yeah. actor has been a bartender. Oh, you know, Aisha, I see you nodding, right? Like this is the thing yes. that you do to
I
make money to
LA.
Pursue the thing that you do.
Well, and it's funny because, you know, here in LA, if you go to any restaurant, you might as well ask every server you have, so what have you been in? Because it's an actor. It's always an actor
yeah.
or a stand-up comedian. To be honest, I mean, I don't think that is happening here because LA is the place everyone comes to sort of make it. And so there's a lot of people working in the hospitality industry who are, like you said, it's a stopgap to get something else. But if they're saying, well, I need Saturday off to feel like mentally sound, the owners of that restaurant are going to go, all right, then quit. We have 10 other people just
yeah.
like you.
Yeah.
So I
who
hope
want that, shift.
That restaurant did this because they spoke with their employees and they were mm-hmm. on board for it. That would be my hope for it.
Well, a lot of restaurants right now, too, a few that I know of, they've sort of eliminated the tipping system. Well, people still tip or they work that price into the cost of a meal out. And they're splitting the cost across the board in front of the house and back of the house. So that the idea of a Saturday night isn't quite as
lucrative,
maybe as profitable.
Right.
Yeah, as it once used to be.
Mm-hmm. But what are the other things? Like, if you're not going to... Okay, so they did this on a Saturday, which we've all established is yeah. probably going to be your biggest... Like, I used to bartend.
Yeah.
Bar star in the house. That's when you made cash.
Right.
You would walk away with a load on a Saturday night because people don't party on Monday night.
Right.
The way they party on a Saturday night. I assume something similar in restaurants. But then you have to ask yourself, if you are going to open, then what is it that's going to take to get good people and keep them mm-hmm. then and also retain yeah. mental health.
Well, and both. Like, how do you manage a workplace that is a beautiful place to work plus give them a financial incentive? Like, it's two things, right? And I'm thinking, my parents used to run a restaurant and Saturdays and Sundays were the big money days because there's more seatings. Like, you can open for breakfast, mm-hmm. lunch, and dinner sure. on a Saturday and Sunday mm-hmm. and you can get a lot of turnover. So does this mean, and I'm not sure for this restaurant, but does this mean they're going to make up for the money they're losing on
right.
Saturdays and Sundays by pumping up the prices on the
yeah.
menu Monday to Friday? And if that's the case, like, great. If their regulars are happy to pay the extra $5 to $10 for the steak or the fish or whatever, then wow, what a great thing for this restaurant to have built up that reputation in that community.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would, now I actually want to go there and try out. Like, how good is
yeah,
your
me
food
too.
That you feel confident enough to close on Saturday and Sunday? And that is a challenge. You gotta
invite
me. Anyway, so here's something else to chew on. What do you do when you're dining out with your friends and your entree arrives at different times? Someone wrote to Miss Manners. They wanted to know if the people served first should start eating or wait until all the food has arrived. What do you all think?
Okay, I want to do some like fill-in because this was a one-time mistake by the restaurant. They mistakenly yeah. brought out salads because these people had ordered salads as their mains, as their entrees, and so they mistakenly came out first. If you're a good friend and it wasn't my salad and you ordered the salad, Lena, I'd say, please eat, go on and eat. But don't you look at me when my main comes, because I don't share that. That was your main?
Yeah.
Good for you. Enjoy it. It's warm. Whatever.
Yeah.
I have my main.
Yeah.
Do not even, don't
no,
give me even a
right.
half, like, don't even give me a half look, because I don't share my main.
You're right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Right at it.
Thank you.
I think you have to eat. If, when it comes, you got to eat. I'm a really slow eater. So I'm notoriously the last person eating. So if my food comes and I'm waiting for you, we are going to be staying there until the place is like sweeping up around us. So let me start a food. Let me start eating. I got to do it.
Doesn't it also feel like it depends on the type of place? Like if you're going out for bacon and eggs and my bacon and eggs come before your bacon and eggs, I'm going to be like, yeah, I'm going to start digging into this, you know? But if it is like at a type of restaurant where, you know, they have two servers bringing out, you know, everyone's main course at the same time and only two people out of the four are getting their mains. And I know, Mel, I know, Aisha, I know, Lainey, you would say, just go ahead and eat. But I couldn't. I couldn't at a fancier place for some reason. I don't know why.
So would you give it back and say, hold this, bring it back at the right time, please?
No, I just sit there awkwardly and look around and start getting really anxious and maybe like ask a server. And the server would probably be mortified that the food does not come out at once.
But isn't it standard now, Jess? Isn't it standard now for servers to be like, how do you want this to come out?
Yes,
so because I was just, I just went out to dinner a few times this weekend, and that was the question. That was because we had ordered a whole bunch of things, and they were like, do you want these three at the same time and whatever? So yes. Isn't that standard, Jess?
Yeah, absolutely. If it's depending on the type of place, like they would typically ask, like you're sharing these to start, and then we'll bring out these four dishes for your main course. Yeah. As Mel said, the restaurant messed up on this one. They didn't bring them out at the same time. Well, I mean, I don't know if I think go ahead and eat before you guys.
Maybe they messed up and these patrons were also super annoying, because I have to say, like, there has to be food compatibility. I don't understand people who go and they only order an entree, no appetizer, or they only order an appetizer, no entree. Like, I can't have dinner with people like that. I have to have, you know, we are going to have all the courses. We're going to have 8 appetizers. Sometimes I order 2 or 3 entrees. Jessica knows this. And then there has to be a dessert. And then after dessert, if you want, you know how sometimes dessert is cheese? I like the sweet stuff and the cheese, and then maybe we'll go out for a drive-thru afterwards. I don't know. But like food compatibility is so important.
Please, yes. Lainey, I need to come eat with you.
Oh my gosh, and my stomach is growling. I'm so hungry right
Aisha,
now.
Aisha, you should come eat with us.
Subscribe to The Social Podcast so you don't miss a fiery debate. Until next time, socialites.